This is the ERP Advisor. Today's episode, Legacy Software Review, SAP.
Sean Windle is one of our speakers for today. Sean is the founder and managing principal of ERP Advisors Group based in Denver, Colorado. Sean has over 20 years of experience in the enterprise software industry. Hi, Sean.
Hello.
Doug Hamm is our guest joining us today. Doug is a principal consultant with ERP Advisors Group. Doug has over 25 years of experience in implementing and managing domestic and global enterprise resource planning and customer relationship management. His depth of experience across many applications and industries is truly unique in the enterprise software market. Doug, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Julia. Thank you.
Hi, yes. Well, I'm so glad to have you guys with me today. We're going to continue our review of different legacy softwares. And today we're focusing on SAP, the largest ERP in the world, right? And so with that said, as the largest ERP vendor in the world, SAP holds an intriguing position in the market going forward. Sean, I'm going to pass this one to you. Can you talk to us about what SAP is in the market today, currently?
Yeah, I can, as always, I'll give you my disclaimers. I can give you sort of my observations and my opinions on what we're doing with different folks, different clients in the market. But if any vendor's listening and needs to correct anything that I'm saying, let us know. But with that said, there's a couple things I'll say about SAP specifically. The first thing is like you said, it is the world's largest ERP vendor. So they have resources that you sort of have like God, and then you have SAP in terms of the amount of resources. I'm just kidding. don't mean to get religious. But it is true that SAP has experience and many people all dedicated and deployed to ERP. And if you think about it, probably the next pure play ERP company that's that big is Unit 4, which is more of an international organization. You hear them certainly throughout the world, not as much in the US, although they have a pretty big presence in North America. Anyway, we're seeing this on one project right now too, where you know, in terms of just industry experience, that they have people that have been through like anything you can think of. Right at SAP. So you have this mammoth organization, tens of billions of dollars. I was just trying to see what their most recent revenue was. And I mean, this organization is, it's gargantuan, 27.55 billion euros, which I think there's the euros worth more than the dollars now. So we're talking a very, very large organization with lots of resources, global, right? So you have SAP as the software publisher, if you call them that, right? Their job is to write software and training materials and all the stuff around that. And then you have a partner channel that is mammoth. I mean, beyond imagination, basically, from some of the top, the largest professional services companies in the world, Doug and I have worked for some of them, down to, you know, smaller shops that just do SAP or some other vendors too. So you not only have SAP, I think it's SAP AG. Is that right, Doug? That's the full legal name?
Yeah, I think that's the company.
Yeah, it's a German company, right? And it's multiple entities throughout the world. But then you also have lots and lots and lots of partners that are out there supporting the product. So whatever is going to come from SAP, it's going to be big. And it's going to make a big impact. I mean, just because it can, right? So that's the first thing I would say. And then the second thing I would say is, and why we're really excited about this call, I think Doug and I have some, you know, real practical insights on what's happening literally today. Although I don't know if you saw some of those more recent emails, Doug, that, you know, the price is... But anyway, we're excited because if you look at the competition and sort of where SAP fits in as a tier one ERP and some of those other products, Oracle and Workday and some of the, you know, the Infor products that are quite large too, you know, SAP has an interesting opportunity there. We'll talk about through this call because they have so many customers that are on their older versions. So what are these older customers going to do? What are they, you know, they've been on ECC 6 or R3 as another platform in there after ECC 6. And so they're really starting to look around to say, hey, you know, what's going on? And we think SAP is getting a little bit more insight too, in terms of sort of even like the Business Suite 7, you know, there's some support for these products through a certain amount of time, but are they going to increase the support time frame? You know, it's sort of like we talked about with Oracle, if you remember that, Juliet. Like, you know, the SAP has said, hey, we're going to support these products through a certain time. I can get into that in more detail here in a bit. But, you know, what's going to happen? So you sort of have this trifecta, right? This perfect storm of a really strong, big, experienced ERP company. And you have all these partners that are out there, you know, generating revenue and feeding their families and paying their people based off of what to do with SAP. And you have this market out there, these customers that are on these products that are getting to the point where they're thinking about changing them. They want to go to the cloud or whatever. And so it sort of sets up this really interesting dynamic, like, whoa, you know, we're expecting some big things here. So I'll leave that as a little prelude to what we'll get into in more details.
Because there's a lot more to it, as we know, right?
Right. That's right.
Yes. So, Doug, let me ask you, I know you have a long background with SAP. Speaking from your experience, what do you feel are some of the most important lessons that you've learned from working with SAP solutions? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I do have a, kind of an extensive background with SAP going back to the R3 days. So, you know, this is going back a little bit, but I think I know some of the lessons still apply today. I mean, the thing with SAP is, you're, as Sean said, one of maybe the largest ERP out there in the market. And it's also, I would argue, the most tightly integrated, meaning the modules and the business functions within SAP are all very tightly linked together, which is great. But with that, it's also a functionally very rich, very deep environment. So, you know, you can very easily get lost in it. And so all to say that scope management, scope control, strong project governance is a very important part of any SAP, major SAP initiative, in my opinion. Because you want to stay focused on the areas that are most in the functions and the areas that are most important for your business needs and not get lost in all the functionality. You know, I mean, just as an example, myself to a degree and others back in that time, I mean, you could take just the order management pricing capabilities and kind of make a little career out of that, you know. Mm. Not as much anymore, but it's that rich and it's that in depth and there's that much functionality there that, it's very powerful, the functionality, but it's just very easy to get lost. So anyways, enough said on that. But the other thing I would say is just be prepared to, and be open to adopting, software enabled business processes, specifically SAP enabled business processes. You know, they're best of breed over time. Sean, 40 years, I mean, over time you build up industry specific, you know, processes and best of class kind of ways of executing business processes. And you want to take advantage of that, first of all, but you also want to avoid having customizations and a significant amount of complex enhancements in your environment. Again, my opinion, but that's, you know, if you look at that continuum of do I adopt the what's in the application and change my business processes to match that, or do I change the application to meet my business model, you know, try to go more the other way because it'll save you a lot of heartache down the road. And I would argue that you'll gain a lot of business value out of that. Finally, just let you know up front that this is my opinion, but SAP implementations can be, and traditionally have been a little bit painful, a little bit high risk. I mean, especially if you adopt that process I just said, you're going to have business change in your environment. But my advice would be to phase it as best you can and also give it time. And what I mean by giving it time is just, I have been directly involved with implementations that we delivered, and they were challenging and they were a little painful. But over time, they're still there for one thing, and they've been adopted by the whole, you know, corporation, the example I'm thinking of. But so you just got to give it time to burn in. You got to give it time to, you know, work through the change and really optimize the environment and reap the benefits of it. Those are my nuggets there.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. Let me ask you this, because I really, as we know, am not technical and know nothing. Is SAP the largest vendor in the world? Because is it more user-friendly than the others? Is it just more widely adaptive than others? Like, why do you think it's the largest?
Go ahead, Doug. Yeah.
Good question. You want to take that, Sean?
No. Go ahead.
I was just going to offer my perspective on that. I mean, they just had an extremely large market dominance early on. And so that, I think they have a huge installed customer base out there. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're independent of any, you know, here at EHG, we're independent of any of the vendors, but I mean, it's hard to argue the functionality that's in SAP and the level of integration. It can be a little bit like the SAP bubble, you know, it can be a little bit like that. I think it's gotten better in more recent versions of the package, but it's just, you know, it was a very dominant package back in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. You know, it's shifted a little bit, but I mean, once you get that installed customer base and just it's an industry now, and it's right. Just from there, but.
Right. And people we've learned through this that people tend to have a platform and stick with it for as long as they can. And then sometimes they're forced to have to make the decision. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's spot on. I think it's interesting. I'm in Florida. I don't think I'm that sunburnt. I think it's light's really making me look like I've been sitting in this suntan salon a little too long. Although we were at Universal Studios, which was pretty cool. It's good to see everybody out there. But the bottom line is that SAP, you know, kind of started, I think, I want to say in like the 90s, the early 90s, and got a lot of market share globally. There's a lot of very large organizations, global organizations, that standardized on SAP, and they haven't moved off, like Doug said. So it's sort of more of a global play for sure. Not to say that Oracle or the other apps aren't either, but there's a, you know, large dominance of that product throughout the world. But I would say too, the channel, you know, that supports SAP is really, really large. Like, a lot of organizations support that product, probably because they make a lot of money at it, you know, versus a smaller product like NetSuite, where there aren't, frankly, the channel is tiny compared to SAP. And that's amazing to think about, because we're in the NetSuite channel all the time talking to hundreds of different people. Right. Yeah. SAP is, you know, orders of magnitude bigger. So, I think that's probably what I would say. That, I mean, you can certainly look online and see what folks are saying, but in my experience, I think SAP really dominated internationally, was able to grow through getting the world's largest organizations running SAP. I think that was an ad back in the 90s, maybe. The world's largest organizations run SAP, I think it was. Maybe it was Oracle. But that's what I think is the big difference is, Julia.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for that. I know... that's a big question to ask, right? So thank you for taking a stab at it. So Sean, I'm going to continue with you. What insights do you have or what have you been hearing about SAP legacy products right now?
That, again, a very good question. There's a couple things. We had a client that was running the ECC6 product that we worked with late last year. Let me check the date on that one. I take that back. It was like midsummer, so less than a year ago. And we reached out to SAP to sort of understand what was happening with that particular version of SAP. And it's, you know, it's interesting to try to get from a vendor, okay, so, you know, what's your maintenance window here? Like, what are you really doing for this product? When are you going to basically stop supporting it? Oh, well, we talked about that with the Oracle stuff, right? Well, there's this sort of rolling period in that. And okay, but what does it really mean? And at that time with SAP, ECC6, which again is sort of like the second oldest version in the big SAPs, that is, they were saying they were going to support that particular product through 2030. Mm. Now, I'm looking through some notes literally as we speak because this stuff changes all the time. And in a good way, that the vendors will tend to push out their maintenance windows longer and longer and longer. Well, I guess the e-business suite window that we were just looking at for a client, Doug, that one didn't get pushed. That one's going to end this year. But there's definitely an urgency around, you know, support. SAP has the urgency to support customers that are on their existing products for sure. Right. You just have to be very, very cognizant of what the dates are that the maintenance is going to stop. And you want to make sure that you have a couple years before that, before you just decide to, you know, make a change. So here I finally found this that as of 2027, I'm sorry, SAP will stop supporting and delivering service packs for ECC6. So that was the data we had in August 2020. So that was as of 2027. So this particular client, who's a smaller company running on SAP, you know, we basically said, like, you know, you don't really have to do anything yet. You could go do a selection just to see what's in the market. You don't have to switch, but, you know, go look in the market, go see what other apps are there, go see what else is happening for sure, including, you know, starting to put a little bit of pressure on your SAP incumbent partner to say, we're going to make a change here. What are you going to do to help us with this upgrade? Right. And so, you know, that's what we're seeing from a lot of clients that are like, okay, I've got a window here. That window is shortening, right? I can't tell you for the SAP R3, what the support window is for that. But it's going to be shorter than, actually, I'm just going to quickly look here. I mean, it's a little bit hard to say, but I'm seeing some information here, literally on SAP support plan or support portal. That'll be available for 3 years from the beginning of 2028 until the end of 2030. That's where I got the 2030 number from. So it's a little bit tricky for sure, but the key things are these, and I'll stop yammering on and on and on. Two of them. The first one is do find out what the window is and do be aware of it for sure. And you really want to get onto the SAP portal and, you know, make sure if you're a customer that you're registered, you're getting regular updates. Stay on these windows for sure, on the maintenance windows. Know what they are. Two, you give yourself 5 years. Like, I hate to say that. I'm like, oh God, 5 years, that's a lot of time. But, you know, 5 years to do something. So let's say 2027, right? Or 2030 is the date, whatever your date is for your particular version. Work back 5 years, and then you need to start looking in the market. You need to start looking at what you want to need and what's important for your organization. And then start looking at the apps that are out there so that you have some feel for what's going on, right? Like, is Workday an option for you or not? You know, if you're on SAP, you may be most likely manufacturer, distributor, sort of a, you know, hard goods sort of a company, maybe not services, although it definitely supports services. But, you know, Workday is not a right product for that. Maybe IFS or QAD or some other products are the Infor products, right? So you want to know, you want to have some familiarity with at least, you know, your options for when it is time to change. So then the second part of number two is start the dialogue with your SAP partner now, and you'll see that the SAP S/4HANA adoption is going to go like a hockey stick. It's going to go way high. It really has been pretty slow to being adopted. That's the new version of SAP. It can be in the cloud. It can be on-premise, private cloud, public cloud, all kinds of clouds. rain clouds, whatever. But you want to just also understand what's happening and what your partners are doing with that, what they're really doing with that. Not just, oh yeah, we're upgrading people left and right. Okay, how many upgrades did you do in the last 6 months? And can I call three of them? Oh, well, I have one person you can call. Why is that? Well, I only did one. Consultants, and I know, have an ability to sort of weave a tale in a way that sort of makes you think something, even though they really didn't do it, but they, you know, they kind of did it. They're not lying, but they're maybe, you know, embellishing. And this is an area where we see that, where a lot of customers is just looking at another report there, where this kind of SAP specialist, I don't know where he got his numbers from, but he was saying that 11% of SAP customers have upgraded to S/4HANA, this company, Avantra. I just found them online. I don't know where he got that number from, but I do think that's about the right ratio from the companies that we're talking to, the industry analyst calls that we're on. I think that's going to change with this SAP Rise. I bet we'll talk about that a little bit later. But those are the two things to keep in mind. Again, just to rehash super fast. So make sure you understand your dates, what's happening with those dates, and watch those dates. And then two, get out to the market early, see what's out there, get your needs identified, the types of solutions that you want, and then start getting your sort of understanding of what the options are in the market before it's too late.
That's great advice. Great advice. So we had a question come in and it says, is SAP still code heavy? Doug or Sean, do you want to answer that?
Doug, do you want to kind of talk to ABAP and
back in the day? I mean, probably, I guess you could make an argument that it is a little bit, but what I'm seeing that they're doing more lately is, and just to try to, I think, move away from that kind of that perception in the market and things, is that they have these industry cloud solutions. And Sean, we're seeing that with a client just literally today, this week. But you know, they have developed pre-configured, you know, cloud solutions that help accelerate implementations and also presumably help minimize, you know, some of the code. And, you know, back in the ABAP days, it was really closed off, the ABAP development. I think maybe that's what the person sending that in, it could be referencing. But, you know, I would say, yes, there's probably still some of that proprietary code kind of vibe with S/4HANA even, but I think it's more open now than it used to be. And I think there isn't as much need for heavy customizations with, like I said, some of the things they're doing with the industry cloud solutions and the technology platform in particular. But that's my take on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would add to it that, you know, SAP as a product is probably bigger, like across the board infrastructure wise, right? So you have, we're getting some notes in here too. Time. But the point of it is that there's a lot of tools in that platform. There's a whole lot, right? Whereas if you went with like Intacct, which doesn't have as many tools, SAP probably has 10 to 20 to 100 times the amount of tools that Intacct has. That's a great way to actually think about it, because if you're implementing a product for a, you know, company like, trying to think of some of the larger SAP deployments that I'm familiar with, but, you know, a large automotive manufacturer, we'll just say, down to a, you know, mid-sized professional services firm that's global or whatever, there's a lot of tools and a lot of infrastructure required to run just that many transactions for, you know, tens of billions of dollars for revenue, as well as functionality to, you know, or tools to meet the functionality needs of different kinds of industries as well. So, you know, reports and analytics and the HANA database structure itself is sort of this new concept, and ERP sort of moving away from relational databases and into different kinds of structured tables and that. I can get out of my realm of expertise very quick there, but the point of it is, we've got a client that I'm thinking about right now that their business processes, even though they're in the utilities industry, which is a very SAP-centric industry, their business processes are actually pretty straightforward. A lot of the really hard stuff is handled by line of business apps, best of breed apps that they don't want to change. So now we're really just talking about projects, MRO, maintenance, repair, and operations, financials, maybe even HR. And it's like, well, we don't maybe need the platform of SAP to do those things, even though they're one of the top apps for that industry. So it always, Juliet, as you know, it always goes back to look at what you need, right? And there are instances where that tool set is exactly what a client needs to meet their specific business or even their technical requirements. Like Doug said, we're always going to drive clients towards, you know, sort of packs, industry packs or industry solutions that sort of come out of the box for sure. But, you know, sometimes you need a semi-truck. And SAP has that, you know, all the tools in the back there that you could use anything for. Other times, hey, you know, like I have those little, like, little kits from Home Depot for my tool set, not very manly. the same one my daughter uses at college or in high school. But, you know, that's enough for me for now. Doug, on the other hand, he's actually like the real handyman, as he's told me. He's probably got a lot of tools, right? Mine, not so much. So, you know, you have to really look again at sort of what you need. But, you know, the good news about SAP is it's all there. But the other good news that every client we talk to who is on that platform needs to know there are other options in the market that are very real, whereas even 5-7 years ago, there weren't.
Well, with that said, Doug, let me ask you, considering working with our current clients, what are you seeing with SAP in the market right now?
Yeah, just some real recent data on that. And I guess I was very surprised recently. We were working with one of our clients, went through, you know, analyzing their needs and going through a selection. And we, you know, we did, they were just kind of on that cusp of what you would consider to be too small for an SAP client historically. You know, they just one of the, it just seemed to be a mismatch. But you know, SAP came in very aggressively. They came in with, you know, S/4HANA. They came in with some pricing that was attractive, I'll say. So, but you know, as you alluded to, Sean, it's gone up, you know, trickling up a little bit, but still it's very, very competitive. Even with some of the, I guess, maybe high tier two or low tier one applications we deal with. And so I think my point is, I think they're aggressively going at, you know, the market segment that's a little bit more mid-size plus in terms of pricing. And also in terms of, like I said earlier, the industry solutions and the technology platforms that they have to offer. So that's sort of what I'm seeing right now. As kind of a difference. I mean, back in the old days, they would never, you know, they would never even really approach those size companies. That the application was just too large, and it frankly the opportunity for them was a little small, too small, right? But I think they're seeing, advantages, and they're being aggressive at how they're approaching that size of market. It's a major difference.
Yeah, makes sense. Sean, you briefly touched on RISE. Mm-hmm. On the subject of upgrading, can you talk to us a little bit about RISE with the SAP program and some of the pros and cons that go with?
Yeah, you bet. And sort of the details are continuing to sort of come out as we speak, but from what we can surmise, RISE is probably the most concentrated, you know, sort of all vectors aligned towards getting clients onto SAP S/4HANA that mm-hmm. we've really seen to date. Again, like I said earlier, you got a company with almost unlimited resources that has a cloud solution. Actually, there's two cloud solutions. You know, by the way, I should take a quick half step, right? There's three sort of platform solutions for SAP on the ERP side. There's all kinds of other products, of course, but there's the SAP S/4HANA, there's SAP by Design, and SAP Business One. And Business One is targeted towards, you know, organizations, companies that are maybe, I don't know, $25 million and under. And I'm sure some Business One partners would say, we've got clients that are running it that are $100 million. Okay, got it. Then there's by design is sort of more maybe around that, you know, $100 million, maybe 250. And then we see the for HANA 250 and above, 250 million in revenue or above. So it's the bigger, and it's usually much farther above. And the cloud for SAP, in my experience, it's been interesting because when you have all these resources, billions and billions of dollars going into R&D, you would think, oh, hey, I better have a cloud solution. So voila, here it is. Well, they've had some misfires over the years. They haven't had the adoption like they expected with S/4HANA. And by design, too, is a good product. We have a couple clients running it. But even that, the partner channel isn't as big as you would expect. There's some great partners out there, some not so great partners, too. But there's good partners out there, but just not a lot of them. So you look at sort of the last 5, 6, 7 years where all the other products, everybody else is just, you know, really accelerating their cloud strategy. I think SAP, from our view, right, working with more mid-sized organizations is really starting to get it and to get a story in place and an executable strategy with RISE. Because the way I understand it is it sort of RISE sort of takes this approach of like, there is the S/4HANA cloud product, right? Because you can get the S/4HANA in on-site, on-prem, or you can do it in a private cloud. But this is more of like the real in the cloud and the cloud providers, you could call them hyperscalers, but those types of organizations, Amazon, Azure, those types of organizations, they all have an offering for SAP now. We've done some work with Rackspace. Rackspace does a lot with SAP too. So they're sort of like, okay, we're going to get you the cloud version of SAP, which also changes the licensing, the subscription, and pricing has gone down, like Doug said, just for the software. So that's good. Then there's sort of a process analysis view using an acquisition that they made from some business process management tools to sort of focus on business process, right? Like Doug said, let's go with out-of-the-box processes, industry accelerators, and that. So that's a big part of it. Then there's sort of the partners are coming in as part of this implementation and making it easier for companies to make this the upgrade. There's probably a couple other pieces to it, too. But I just think that there's SAP is really coming to grasp with our customers want more in order to upgrade. And, you know, when you have a maintenance stream that's as big as SAP's, it's sort of hard to change, right? I'm thinking of an SAP executive listening to this call right now saying, is that right, Sean? You don't know what you're talking about. And I would say, well, I don't know, because, okay, where are we at with cloud adoption for ERP, right? If you look at, is it HXM, CXM, there's other products in the SAP Concur, which also owns TripIt. So there's other products and cloud-based applications, Ariba, you know, there's other great cloud-based apps that have been out there forever, but we're talking core ERP. And I think we would come to some agreement to say that, you know, there is more focus on why it's important to have a really strong cloud offering today. And I think partly is because Oracle, you know, is all in on cloud, right? Everything they sell is cloud. Workday, pure cloud, right? Where if you make a change to the platform, which you don't have to do that often, you can do tags and other things, but you make a change to that platform, everybody gets it. Pure cloud.
Right.
So anyway, it's sort of like I view RISE as like I think the sort of pushing the chips in that SAP is doing to say, okay, we are all in on cloud. We've got the process view. We've got like I'm looking at something called what is included in RISE with SAP on SAP's website. Go look at this stuff, right? We do this often. Technology cloud credits. So they're actually thinking with, you know, what it's going to take a customer who is in an on-prem deployment and put them into a data center, basically, right? A hyperscaler, because those costs are significant. So let me just take a half a step back here, right? That, you know, the move to cloud, oh, it's wonderful, it's great, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. But when you go to like Azure, there's monthly charges that you're going to be charged now that you weren't before. Well, that's because you don't have the hardware and, you know, the people to maintain the hardware and the environmental software and all that stuff. That's true, but I already paid for that. And I'm used to upgrading those servers. And I got a bunch of people that support this that are doing just fine today. So you tell me I can let go of them? Well, no, you still need them. So I'm going to still need the people. I've got these servers that I use for other apps, not just SAP. So maybe I can get rid of like, you know, 5 physical servers that are running a bunch of virtual machines, but I still got 50 other servers.
Right.
You know, now I got to do this monthly charge. Like, no. And that has been the dilemma that I think SAP's been in. So I think that's why they're going sort of, like I said, all in on, you know, what can we do to give credits to clients to get into the cloud, get the process set, their business processes set, have a product that is truly, you know, based on industry practices, best practices in that. So that's my in the trenches view of it. I'm sure, again, an SAP exec would certainly change some things that I'm saying, but I think that's really where it kind of comes down to. So I'm excited to see more. I really am. I was on an industry call earlier this week, actually, and I gave SAP a high ranking because I think I'm seeing the right moves being made to actually start getting some more market share on cloud-based apps from SAP with this rise. That's what I think is going to happen.
Well, at least have the option for it. Even if someone decides they want to stay on-prem, at least have the option for a cloud solution for those who want it, whether there's a charge or not, right?
Well, right. But there is an option today. Just folks are like, why would I do this? Because of the reason I just said, and I have to redeploy SAP. Are you crazy? Like I almost lost my job the first time.
Yeah.
Why would I go through that now? That's why I said it's like this. Their options are always there. They have been there, but I think it's just becoming more like client focused on doing it. Not just, hey, move to the cloud. Like, why would I risk putting my child in a crazy ride at the roller coaster if there's, you know, and last time I was there, it was crazy, you know, just like people sort of get kind of keyed in on an upgrade of SAP too. Let's not forget that. So that's what I'm saying, that SAP is really trying to understand that experience for customers and doing something about it.
What they need, for sure. So let me, another question came in. Is SAP by design what my SAP all-in-one used to be?
No. It's not. So all-in-one was I think it was an attempt to sort of take the ECC version of SAP, the big version, right, and templatize it for specific industries. And I think the goal was to target that towards sort of mid-size organizations. Mm-hmm. So that was on the, I think it was the ECC platform. It was after R3, but certainly before 7. So ECC, whereas by design, total different code base. It was purchased by SAP, totally different. It's actually a multi-tenant software as a service deployment. So it only runs with the SAP cloud. So 2 separate apps.
Okay. So I think kind of to wrap up, if we can, just kind of summarize today's topic. I'm going to ask this to both you and Doug, Sean. What can you offer as an outlook for where you feel SAP is headed in the future?
Doug, do you want to take that?
Yeah. I think if you are, I think where they're headed in the future is just they'll continue to kind of maintain their existing customer base, work through, as much as they can, work through these, the transition. I think they will in the next, as we were seeing in the dates that were presented earlier, in the next probably 5 years or so, be a little bit more aggressive on moves to S/4HANA. Which the database performance on that is supposed to be really good. And I have some first-hand experience with that. I mean, there's no reason. I think you touched on all the, there's various options for cloud versus on-prem versus hybrid. you know, I think it's a good product, and I think they're going to be more aggressive in moving their customer base in that direction in the next 5 years. Need to have it in your roadmap, need to have be thinking about it now and not wait. And then I would also say that there, I do see the market, their customer base changing a little bit as they, you know, do the things we talked about earlier, approaching more mid-market companies and making inroads into that segment with their core product, S/4HANA. So, and I see them being more approachable. That's the way I saw our latest interactions with them. So I would say, if you're looking at it, if you're not on SAP now and you're looking at other options, I mean, I would consider SAP. I wouldn't be afraid of it. I would reapproach them if you haven't talked to them in a while, because it is a little bit different experience than it used to be.
John, can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think I would echo exactly what Doug said. Talking to customers on R3 and the ECC platform, like I said, has been a little bit like, oh, I can't blame you. I wouldn't want to switch either. Oh,
boy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just memories and stories, you know, how much of it's real, how much of it isn't. Yeah. That's where it gets pretty interesting. Like, what's really going on out there, right? But what's really going on, like Doug said, is I think there is a shift. I think SAP is interested in really and willing to take responsibility for a true sort of desirable cloud strategy for their customers. You know, what can they do to make it desirable to move? Because as we've talked about before a lot this summer, Juliet's like the expert in cloud ERP, which is amazing now. She always says she isn't, but she is. But, you know, I think you asked this question, but, you know, cloud-based software that runs in the cloud sort of solves a major problem that many, many SAP customers have had in the past, which is upgrades. They would customize and they couldn't take the upgrade versions of the product because it would blow up their instance. Being in the cloud helps for sure with that, but mostly because you have to take an upgrade. Some of the vendors don't require it, but eventually they do. But the bottom line is that the cloud deployment is a much better, more maintainable experience for the software vendor to maintain their apps in the future. And so there's a lot of benefits to the vendors for doing that. And then customers sort of going on the coattails of that. Lots of benefits as well, too. Shorter term investment. There's a longer term dollar for sure that you put into it. But it's easier to get into the products and you don't have to have a huge IT team and lots of servers and all that stuff. So the value proposition of cloud is there. I think SAP is getting more realistic about why their customers haven't gone. I think they're actually really making a difference. I think their show Sapphire is happening right now, as a matter of fact. So there'll probably be some, like literally right now, so there'll probably be some interesting announcements that come out about that. So the key point, I'm really yammering a lot about this today, but it's really, really important, is that SAP customers, of all of our customers, they have to be aware and responsible to understand what their real options are. Because it may feel like you don't have any, right? Because you don't want to go through that upgrade and lose your child on the roller coaster or whatever I was trying to say earlier. But there, you can get into other apps, maybe even smaller apps. But also, again, SAP is making some real movements. Maybe your partner's not telling you, you know, what you need to do. You need to find another partner then. Call SAP, ask them who else to work with, and get some really good insights. They're there. They're definitely there. So I have a really good feeling for SAP for sure. For the customers that are on that product, again, I think there's some great options they're not even aware of today. especially as some of the other products like IFS and Infor sort of get their cloud strategies really clear, frankly. Mm-hmm. But then also, like I said, SAP is going in the right direction. And I think this RISE thing, we're keeping a super close eye on that. And, you know, we'll find out too here very, very shortly with a client that we're in the middle of there. We've down selected to SAP and Microsoft. Like, when does that ever happen? Usually they're in different categories, but, you know, it's a 300 million on their way to 500 million on their way to a billion firm. Wow. And so it's like, are they going to be a big one? Are they going to be a little one? How much time do they need? So there's a lot more options, I think, for customers to really keep in mind. You're not a victim to your old SAP environment. That's the key thing.
Not being held hostage, right? Like That's knowing, it. Yes, exactly. Knowing what your needs are, like helps you just make better decisions, right?
Yep. That's it.
Yeah. So, well, Doug, Sean, thank you for your time. And as always sharing your very valuable knowledge and experience. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you everyone for joining us for today's call. Please let us know if you have any questions. We're happy to help in any way we can. You can call us, email us, whatever works. We're happy to help. Please join us for our next call scheduled for Thursday, June 24th, when we continue our legacy software review focusing on Sage. Please go to our website, erpadvisorsgroup.com, for more details and to register.
ERP Advisors Group is one of the country's top independent enterprise software consulting firms, advising mid to large-sized businesses on selecting and implementing business applications, including ERP, CRM, HCM, business intelligence, and other enterprise applications, which equate to millions of dollars in software deals each year across many industries. This has been the ERP Advisor.